April 13th, 1993, an interview with Sister Margaret Ann at St. Mary's Catholic Church. The interview is being held in the library of the elementary school.
Okay. We're the Grey Nuns of the Sacred Heart, and we first arrived in Kodiak, not I, but five sisters, in 1944. The foundation of our mission at Kodiak dates back to the summer of 1944, for then it was that a religious community was first suggested as a logical solution to the problem of managing the Griffin Memorial Hospital. Since the opening of the hospital in 39, it had been administered by head nurses acting under the hospital board, and lastly by Dr. A. Holmes Johnson, the father of Dr. Bob, as medical director. Routine management, however, remained in the hands of the head nurse. The conditions in the hospital were eminently unsatisfactory, so it was decided by the bishop that a religious community would come up and take over. And we weren't accepted, of course, at that time, but later on we were. And we administered for all those years as a nursing order in the old Griffin Memorial Hospital, which is now the mental health center down on the channel. And we lived there until 1967. In 1954, Sister Hillary and Father, I should forget his name, one of the priests anyway, decided to start a school, parochial school, and they started with the first, second, and third grades. Then in...
Where was the first school located?
This first school was in the basement of the, not really the basement, the old church. Old St. Mary's Church was down where the Fish and Game Building is now. And that was, there was a long room attached to the church, and it started there. The first grade was in a Quonset hut attached to the church. The second grade, first and second, were in a Quonset house. Third and fourth were in half of this long room. The fifth and sixth were in the other half. I came up in 66, and my first classroom was the fifth and sixth grade classroom adjoining the third and fourth. When Sister Marcella taught, I gave seat work. When I taught, she gave seat work, and this is how we worked it out. Sister Joan Patricia was upstairs in the priest's, in a room adjoining the priest's living room, and that was the seventh and eighth grade. It was a small school, but it, you know,
how,
it worked.
How many students do you
I don't really know. That I'm not too sure of. I could look that up, but I'm really not sure of that. Anyway, from there, we were told we had to get out of that vicinity because of the urban renewal. So we had to move, and the Archbishop at that time, Archbishop Ryan, bought this land here outside of Kodiak then, and it was the boonies. At that time, nobody was up here.
I was going to ask you which road went by the church or how you got back up this
way. The road went out, but not very far, because later on, I think it ended at the Dark Lake Road. There was a curve. We used to go to Abercrombie, which was very different, but not very much farther. Boy, I'm forgetting, but it wasn't, and then they opened up Aughton Malloy, And I remember walking that road when they began to open it. We were not supposed to be there because there was a possibility of bears and so forth. And
so there was no Rosano at that time. It was Mel Bay that went over the hill.
No. There was a Rosano, but it was nothing but trees on either side. Very few homes. Beautiful trees all along. And it ended at the cutoff. That's where it ended. There was a home built right there where it now extends. And I forget the name of those people, but they were very prominent in the city. Let me see. When we were moved, the bank, it's a bank that's not the one with the big, what's the bank down by the cannery? First National, I think it is.
First National Bank.
Yes. All right. They were building, and we took over the old public school on the hill, where up above where Ford Motors is. That was quite a hill, and we were up there. One half of the building, the old public school that was condemned, and we moved into it, was the third and fourth and fifth and sixth grade. And the bank was on the other side of the corridor. You'd come in, and our school was on one side, our four grades, and the bank was on the other side until they built the bank, and then they moved out, and until we moved this school to this school. They began to build here.
Which was in?
67.
67.
In 1967. And we were truly called St. Mary's of the Island then, because the first and second grade were in a meeting room in St. James Episcopal Church. The third, fourth, fifth, and sixth, we had double classes, were in the old condemned public school.
Was it condemned at the time?
Mm-hmm. It was condemned at the time, and they were building the new public school here. And the seventh and eighth grade were in the abandoned fisherman's Union Hall.
Fisherman's
and
Hall.
That was downtown where the Fish and Game is now, that building. That building was moved up here, and it was the old thrift shop next door to the old church that was here, that is here, and now up here. They cut the old St. Mary's Church right across from the Russian church. That's where we were. The school, the church was there.
And then the Russian Orthodox Church was
right across the street. And they cut St. Mary's Church in half, and we watched it being brought up Mill Bay and situated here, the old one.
That's
the thrift shop
that's
now.
That's the thrift shop.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that something?
Yeah, that's excellent.
In that, then they also moved the Fishermen's Union Hall up here, and that was the seventh and eighth grade. That was moved up for a long while before we were allowed to move into the school while the school was being built. This was just nothing but trees when we came up the first time to look it over. I think they took 160 trees down here. This, where that Woody Way and Murphy Way out there was nothing but a ravine, and that belonged to us, that was part of the land. Just trees and trees and fox and rabbits and hares, I guess you call them. And they bought the old Holland. The old Holland house is where we are living. They bought that for the sisters, and they bought Marinkovich's bungalow for the rectory where the priest lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then we had the little church here until recently, about 3 years ago, when our new church was built.
Until the present one.
Yes. Uh-huh.
So up until a few years ago, Very, very small.
Very small. It was like going to church in a bus. That's all I could ever think of. It's just going to church in a bus.
And the old church next door, that was intact as it, that was it?
That
until
was
about
it.
3 years ago?
Yes, that's it. And when they were building the new church, we had a mass in the gym here for, I think it was a full year.
Because you had the school already.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. School was built, I think the school was built around the gym. This was one of the biggest gyms. It was the only gym, I think, on the island until the new public school was finished up. But when I came, was in 66, and we then were in full habit. And I remember coming, flying in. I thought I'd never get here, because that year, the pilots across the United States were on strike. So our mother house was outside of Philadelphia. We had to drive from Philadelphia to LaGuardia in New York City. We took a flight there to Toronto. Then we went from Toronto to Calgary, Calgary to Vancouver, took a bus through the Columbia River Valley into Seattle, Seattle to Anchorage, Anchorage to Kodiak.
That's a long way around, isn't it?
It took 3 years, I think, and I thought, I am going to the end of the world. I was coming, I was missioned in a school in Lowell, Massachusetts for 10 years before I came here. So I thought, oh my gosh, we'll never get, you know, we'll never get there.
So you originally left Massachusetts?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, to come here. And then when we landed, it was as usual, wet and rainy and muddy. You couldn't believe it. Now we have paved roads. We have no paved roads. And when we came down, when the plane came in, there were seven gray nuns standing in a row. And we had a little bitty terminal at that time. So you stood out, right out there and watched the plane came in. And it was raining, it was wet, it was muddy. And I thought, coming from back east, you know, where it was nice and clean and everything, never lasts. We get in our car. Car was dirty and dusty, like all Kodiak terminal, I guess. When we arrived at the hospital, they showed us our rooms. And there were four sisters at that time teaching in the school. And they were living in a trailer next to the hospital, right on the channel. And one of those sisters was going back east, and I was replacing her.
Did you volunteer to come up?
No.
Oh, it was
no. I did not volunteer. The other sisters volunteered. This was what we called a volunteered mission because it was so far away from our mother house. But I did not volunteer, and that's why, when I was asked to come up here, the Superior General gave me 3 days to make up my mind, which is unusual. You're told. So, having a vow of obedience naturally, I said yes. But when we got up here, I had to sleep in the sisters' quarters in the basement of the hospital. That's where they were. Mm-hmm. Our dining room, our chapel, and our sleeping quarters were in the basement of the mental health hospital. That building, that was Griffin Memorial.
So you came up originally in a support for the hospital.
No, I came up to teach.
You did come to teach, okay.
By that time, by 66, we had eight grades, but four classrooms. We had eight grades, but four teachers. And one teacher was returning to the mother house, and I was replacing her. And that's really when all the at the beginning of upheaval as far as moving the old hospital up to the prison site. The sisters were involved. They administered the hospital up here, Kodiak Island Hospital, and were responsible in the building and so forth.
Was it still called Kodiak Island mm-hmm. Hospital?
Yeah, so we really had, we had that up until, I think it was 78 or something like that. It wasn't really our hospital, it was leased from the borough. Mm-hmm. But because of lack of personnel, we had to turn it over to the present administration. But the other hospital was very, very well administered. I worked there on weekends and I worked in holidays. It wasn't a large hospital and we didn't have too many patients, so our head nurse, our superior, who was the administrator also, used to let those nurses off. And then our own sister nurses, the RNs, would take over, but those of us that were interested would help out. You know, could clean cubans, yeah. Know, things like that. Nothing spectacular, but carry trays and clean up the patient and clean up the rooms. And that's what I did. And I loved it. I really did. Yeah. I also worked at Kodiak Island Hospital until we gave it up on my weekends. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We moved in here in this school in February of 68. We were in a week when we were put out because of something wrong with the pipes or sanitation or something. I don't know whether they connected it wrong. I have no idea what that was. But we were moved out for a while and then back in. We've been going here. I find a big change in Kodiak. It's not, I call it cozy. It's not as cozy as it was, not as friendly as it was. We could walk the streets at any hour of the night. I had to travel from the old hospital to the base hospital many times. Early morning, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. I never had a fear of going alone in the car, in spite of the fact that there were no guardrails.
No guard.
You know.
Dead man's curve without
a
guardrail.
Dead man's curve was lovely. But we never had a fear. We never locked our doors. We never locked the car doors, and nothing like that. Of course, it's developed and it's grown considerably.
That's very much.
Considerably, yeah.
I was here in 85 and it's changed a lot.
A lot.
Very much.
Mill Bay Road was a beautiful road, just lined with trees. And now they're all cut down and they're just, everything is, too many trees are being cut down. We're losing some of the beauty of Kodiak because of business, I guess, when you talk.
Yes, yes.
Unfortunately.
It's more commercial than the...
Yeah, and it shouldn't because it's a beautiful place. It's just a lovely island. There were not that many people out at Chiniac. When we went to Chiniac, there'd be one or two families that we knew well. And it was a long ride out, a beautiful ride. And then, of course, we had the Air Force out at Chiniac. I forget what you had.
Was it a radar site or
radar site, something like that. And we used to go out there quite often. We were fated to beautiful dinners and things like that. It was just wonderful. Yeah. It was just wonderful. And Joe Beatty had his ranch that the Burtons own now, and we used to go out and visit the Beattys. It was so long ago. It was a wonderful ride out. That part, I hope they never spoil it. It was that's Kodiak, you know. It was just wonderful.
It's a lot like town area was back then. Yeah.
Because when we moved out here, when the Archbishop bought land out here, several people said, you're foolish. Whereas others were advising him to move out here because this is where the town was going to move. And we know now that that was true. because when we first built it, it just was nothing. Before Aunt Malloy was opened up, you know, that was the end of town. And now it's gone way out, and it'll possibly go around the island, I guess, if they decide to build a road around. Mm-hmm. It's very different now. I still love it.
Oh, I love it too.
I don't want to leave it. I have no desire to leave Kodiak. I find the people that we work with are very wonderful. And I'm involved in the Arts Council. And so I don't work just with our people in the parish and the school. I'm involved with all these people, and they're really wonderful. Really wonderful people.
The more you get out, the more you see the variety and the real depth of the people that are.
I personally think we have some of the most excellent teachers in all of our schools. I don't think there's any great teachers in any one great school. I think we really have wonderful teachers, wonderful facilities for the children, lots of opportunities, lots of opportunities. We started in 67 to fly out to ADAC every summer. There were four sisters went the first summer.
Why did you go out to ADAC?
To teach religion for 2 weeks.
To the
children of the Navy.
Navy mm-hmm. children?
Navy children. Mm. There are no natives out there, it was just our Navy. And we used to go out every year until 80-something. I don't remember just exactly when we stopped. But we used to go out on reefs, and then we went out on a little, I think it's P3, Navy P3, that we used to go out on that, and that was wonderful. It took us about 11 hours, but we went out. We had a wonderful time. Then the Coast Guard moved in, and we went out on a C-130. We go way out at 2, stop in Shimia, and then go to ADAC. It was a wonderful experience. I loved it. Looked forward to it every summer. It was my vacation.
That sounds definitely different. That's over now.
Something that surprises me. Yes, wonderful.
Get away from my questions because you have answered about everything.
Okay, go ahead.
When you said the sisters were not received when they first were establishing things here in the 30s and 40s, what do you mean by that? What was the general attitude here that caused that?
I think, possibly, if we read this, I think the idea was that they were, in those days, people were afraid of nuns. I mean, they had no idea who they were because we dressed differently and we had a different life and so forth. I think they were just afraid of us. But it was evidenced, wait a minute. They expected a drastic change because we were coming in. But I guess when they realized that how hard the sisters worked and how they scrubbed, and we didn't have anybody to do that. We do our own work. And I think when the people here realized that we weren't out to take over or do anything like that, that we were just here to help. And I you know, several people speak now, these old friends of ours that were here years and years ago. We had the first mass. Let me see, a Canadian Pacific ship would take us to Vancouver. They had a hard time coming up because it was during the war. And during the war, you know, you had to have priority to travel. It took them a long time. If you read this, you'll see how long it took them to get here. And when we got here, they turned us away. The five sisters that came, they turned them away and sent them back to, I think it was Juneau, and then they came back the second time. They were sent to Ketchikan. And
they were not allowed to stay on the island?
No, they weren't allowed. They weren't.
the people in general, or the...
I honestly don't know exactly who they were, in quotations.
That's what I was going to ask. Yeah. Was the church, was the Catholic, Roman Catholic Church established on the island at the time?
No, was that it? Was on the base.
That was just
here.
On the base. Okay.
It says here, Tuesday evening we embarked again for Juneau. After mass and breakfast, we were shown rooms on the third floor of the hospital in Juneau. Later in the day, we learned that the Baptists in Kodiak were complaining bitterly that they were not given an opportunity to bid for the possession of the hospital. Unfortunately, our trip was planned and started before the contract was signed by the proper authorities, so there was absolutely nothing to be done but wait and pray for a favorable outcome. For 16 days, the storm raged. Representatives of the Baptist Church came from New York. Factions in Kodiak were making similar complaints, and the sisters could do nothing but allow Father Gallant to do battle for them and wait and pray. Telegrams flew back and forth to the governor, who was then in Washington, and to the general council in Philadelphia, that's our council, and many were the petitions sent heavenward by everyone so vitally concerned. Bishop Cremant had said to Father Gallant on the day of their arrival in Juneau, "I fear that things are not going too well. God has sent a project that does not carry a cross with it." Those were prophetic words. The crosses came one after another to prove that God did want religious in Kodiak, and just a definite, and definitely to prove that His Satanic Majesty did not. I don't think that's nicely said at all, because I don't think it was satanic at all.
Right.
It was just that it's a misunderstanding. The Baptists were not given an opportunity, and we know that.
This
now.
Was written a while back.
Yes. So, you know, and the sisters at that time suffered, so therefore.
Mm-hmm.
Finally, the contract was signed and delivered, and goodbyes were said to Bishop Cremant. The Sisters of St. Anne could one... and the Sisters of St. Anne, where could one find words to express our gratitude? Okay, no group of nuns could have been welcomed another and made more comfortable. That's it.
Is the order still the same as the original nuns, nuns?
Oh, yeah.
Came up?
We are connected with Yardley, Pennsylvania, so each summer we are permitted to go back and spend some, they want us to go back and spend some time at the Mother House, maybe a week or two. But now the airport, where Father Dermot O'Flanagan and all these other people, the Sisters of Providence, and they still have the big Providence Hospital in Anchorage, were here to help us. Slowly, the small fishing boat chugged out of the bay from Kodiak Island, carrying aboard a very ill young girl. She was on her way to Seward, the nearest hospital. There were only about an hour out of the bay when the girl died of a ruptured appendix. This and other similar incidents finally convinced the people of Kodiak Island of the dire need of hospital facilities in their community.
And this was addressed to the Archbishop in in Anchorage, and then sisters were sent to try to
help
here, and then things got going from there.
Yeah, that's all. Then medical services in Kodiak were most uncertain at the time. Dr. Holmes Johnson of St. Helena, Oregon, came to Crystal Bay area in the summer of 37 to act as cannery doctor for Libby McNeil and Libby. He was flown about the entire area for surgery and medical services. Dr. Johnson was a fellow of the American College of Surgeons and a distinctive addition to the medical profession in Alaska. Dr. Johnson fell in love with Alaska, a condition from which he never recovered. He returned in the summer of 38 to make his home. His wife, Faustina, and son Robert followed him a month later. Coincidence with Dr. Johnson's arrival came Dr. Bates Jones, who retired in 1944. He served many years as Army surgeon in Fort Yukon. Okay, it goes on. This is really quite interesting. And these people, Dr. Bob and Dr. Jones, were just magnificent, that's all, in their work. The E. W. Griffin Memorial Hospital was completed and dedicated in 39. The first patient in November was Gregory Shenwin, who was admitted for treatment of a severe leg fracture. From the opening, Dr. A. Johnson was appointed medical director of the hospital. And that goes on.
So that was the first patient?
Yeah. And this goes on.
Under the sisters.
And it's beginning in Mrs. Lynch. And she was here.
When the school got first started, who were the original students that began? Were they all Catholic or were they...
No.
They were...
Not all. I mean, we never turned anybody away.
Mm-hmm.
Anybody who wanted to come, most were Catholic.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, most were... I think it has something to say here about it. I think, you know, you have to, if when you read this, you have to take this into consideration that this
was written
very much long ago, you know.
Very much so.
And beautifully written, but, you know, a little bit with flowers. We had five sisters. They were freezing, and then Sister Mary Leo, with a penchant for mechanics, experimented with an oil stove, and soon they were. And this Marion Lynch was here when I was here. She died recently, you know, after I'd arrived.
She had been one of the first ones mm-hmm. that was here.
They're five, and they're named in.
And the incident was just after they've got.
There are many people here now that don't know that we, our congregation, our sisters, the Grey Nuns of the Sacred Heart, really, you know, established the hospital here, actually.
Mm-hmm.
And the new part of the hospital where the ICF, that part of the hospital where the... I think it's called an ICU.
ICU?
The ICU, yeah, all that part there is dedicated. That whole wing is dedicated to the Grey Nuns of the Sacred Heart. I didn't know it either, to be honest with you. We were very upset because the dedication ceremony went on and the four sisters who were here teaching knew nothing about it. And we were really kind of hurt because we certainly should have been there for
mm-hmm.
the dedication. However, those things pass. Those things are not important. There's a few things in here about the Army. When the Army was here, they did a lot for us, and so did the Navy. The Navy came and helped us with the house where we live now.
Uh-huh.
They scrubbed and painted and cleaned all the debris around the yard and all that. They were really wonderful.
Once it had been moved up here. Oh no, what it wasn't moved.
That
been
was
there.
Here. Okay. That was the whole the old
That's right.
Holland house. I guess they built it, but when we moved up, it had been in disreputable condition for years, you know.
But it was part of the land that they had required, so...
They tell us that it was a house of disrepute because it was gambling and all that,
uh-huh.
there, you know, so we're living in a nice house. It's a beautiful house, it really is. We love it. It's smaller than it looks, but it really is nice. There was a lot that we had, a lot of lumber and junk, a huge, huge gambling table that had little cars on it in our living room, that was in our living room. And that had to be removed. And then booths, tables and chairs that had to be removed. And Sister Joan, Patricia, and myself scrubbed every bit of that pine work, this ceiling. Beautiful.
Mm-hmm.
And so we needed help, and the Army and the Navy came out and helped.
That's them. Excellent.
Yeah, they
That's
did.
Those
Guys
little
were
things
wonderful.
That
just
you don't
wonderful.
Know.
No, you know, people don't know that today. And they look at our house and say, gee, when I first came to Kodiak, I wanted to buy that house. Well, it wasn't for sale until we came along. And then I think the Archbishop got it for a song.
At what year was this exactly?
66.
This was 66.
1966.
So you had just, you'd come here, you were still in the hospital,
mm-hmm.
Staying in the hospital, and then you bought
moved
the house,
here.
And
mm-hmm.
we all started moving in.
That's okay. It. The four teachers moved into the house, out of the trailer. We sold the trailer. The trailer is someplace on Mission Road, Magnuson's bought it, and it's on Mission Road now. It was a double trailer, very nice. Four of us had to live there, so it had to be big enough.
And it was down by the hospital at the time?
Oh, yeah. It was right by the channel, which was really nice. It was kind of hard to move away from the channel. It was really
It's very
fun.
Peaceful down there.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's where I saw my first whale, first sea lions, and the first, you know, coming from the east. That was a big thrill. And the seaplanes coming in, you know, the little float planes coming in right under our living room window. It was wonderful, the moon on the water. But we moved up here, and I wouldn't move for anything now. It's just wonderful. We had a huge celebration, and I don't remember just when it was. I was here, I think it was 54. 54, 64, it had to be 64. 59 was a big celebration because it became a state.
How was the church affected by the quake? What was
Well, the hospital was not, you know, really, they used to have services in the hospital chapel. That's where the church really was, the hospital chapel. We didn't
before this one was
yes,
moved up here.
Yes. No. Before that one was, before they moved into that one downtown, when it was still downtown. But they used to have services in the little chapel in the hospital, and then they moved over to the church downtown. And when they moved that church, and before the school was built, we had mass in the old Elks building that was right at the harbor. We used to have to go down every Saturday and set up for mass and big things like that. You know, I almost forgot about that. And we'd have to drive from here down to set up for mass, set up everything at the Elks. I'm pretty sure it was the Elks, yeah. The old Elks building, it was right on the channel. We used to have a bakery there, the Naughton Bakery, too. And Crafts was always there, smaller. But then when we moved up here, they moved the church here, and we always had church there until they started to build the new church, and we had mass and services here in the library and in the gym on Sundays.
Once the school was built. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
When you first got here, was there much damage still left from the quake?
Pretty much. There was a lot of, I didn't realize it because I didn't know it before, you know. But I remember the old post office was down by the ferry dock, right up from the ferry dock. That building now, I think it's Canna.
Okay.
That was the post office, and we used to walk down to get a mail. But it was boardwalk all the way up center. And I remember the first time I went to the post office, I looked up and thought, boy, The only thing that would make this complete is John Wayne coming down the middle of the street on horseback. That's all you'd need, you know, that's all I kept thinking. I really loved it. The first month I got here, I didn't like it because it was too muddy.
What month did you get here?
In August, first week of August. It was muddy, and we had our long habits on, and our habits were beige, they were tan, light tan, but unbelievably, the mud would cake on it, but if you let it alone and let it dry, it just brushed off and there was no mark. And I remember writing back saying, oh, this place is wonderful, even the dirt is clean.
That's an interesting way of putting it.
Because you could just brush it off.
Mm-hmm.
And after a month, though, I don't think you could have gotten me out of here. I really loved. The people were so good and still are. I mean, we just have a wonderful group of people. Just wonderful. I've gone through many pastors. We had first 3 years, we had a different pastor for the first 3 years.
Excuse me.
Gee, I've had a lot of them. I enjoyed them. And then, of course, you know, each year, too, we had another chaplain at the base.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, we lived through a lot of, anybody wants to know anything about priests, I certainly can tell them. But then we had a chaplain at NADAC. So we had, you know, two priests were changed every year since 66. They still are, but we don't get to know the ADAC priests anymore.
Right, because you don't go out there anymore.
No, unfortunately, we would really love to do it. But